And I'm just excited. Is anyone else excited for what God's about to do in the house, in our lives? I'm truly passionate for what God's doing, and that's what we're going to talk tonight. Darren stole most of my message tonight as he was prophesying over the church, but that's okay. I'll go a little bit longer than Darren tonight, so it's so good. So Happy New Year, friends. Welcome to church. I'm so excited to be kicking off a new teaching series, but before I get into that, I just want to say welcome to everyone. So if you're new here tonight and Beloved City Church is new to you, welcome to our table. If Beloved City Church is home, welcome home. We're just so grateful to be able to come back. Man, 2 weeks? Whoa, that was too long. Didn't it feel like forever? Lord, help me to repent next year. No, it's all good. I really thoroughly enjoyed the break. And as you can hear in my voice, I actually spent most of my break coughing and hacking my lungs out. And so I'm still my voice is still recovering from that. Angela says, you're not supposed to talk when you cough. Just cough. She's like, you won't wreck your voice. I'm like, what? That makes no sense. Anyways, maybe she knows more than I do. Probably, right? But anyways, I'm so thankful that Pastor Angela and I and our family and alongside our leadership teams both here and in Victoria are so thankful for the opportunity to lead this church into 2023 and beyond. God is so faithful, and we're just filled with so much gratitude to be here in the room with you tonight. Friends, if you've been a part of our church family, as Darren was saying, for any length of time, you would know that every year we intentionally kick off our year with a time of devotion and dedication and consecration with 21 days of prayer. We want to be fully dependent on God. And when we pray and we fast and we kick off that year with a time of devotion, it reminds us of who we are serving and who's in charge, who's got the wheel. Sometimes I want to grab over there, come on. But God's like, no, Chris, you need to learn some patience and learn to trust me. And so our church has been built on prayer, friends, and we're going to continue to do so. And we truly see a church that chooses prayer as a first response and not a last resort. And today is the kickoff day. I'm going to be hungry tomorrow, but that's okay. God is up to some good things, isn't he? I know Dairy Queen was on the list for some of you, but you can go. It's okay. No judgment. So I encourage you to set aside some time in this next 3 weeks. And every Friday night, like Darren was saying, man, I encourage you to come. We're going to open up the prayer room here in the cafe. And if we outgrow that, we'll go downstairs and pray. And we're going to have pray. Just we're going to lift our hands and voices to God and individuals. And then as a corporate, we'll pray over some certain things and specific things and trusting God to speak. Who wants to hear the Lord speak to you? Oh, man, I want to hear him talk. So we want to devote this time of prayer and fasting from January 8th to 29th, and don't miss the 20th. I think that Sunday is the 29th. When we close, we're going to have a special service here and anoint our eldership for the new year in 23 and pray over the new year as a team. I believe that over this next 3 weeks, God's going to do some powerful things in this house. He's going to release some things in you that you never even saw coming. He's calling you back. Come on, friends. I've called you. I've set you apart, and I've got some work for you. I've called you, and I've hired you. Actually, I've bought you, stamped, paid in full. Oh, man, it's going to be exciting. I know, I get excited. You guys okay if I get excited? This is a time where we get to declare our dependence on God. We're such an independent culture, right? You do you, I'll do me, but God wants to do a little bit of work in us instead. And so we declare our dependence on him, intentionally seeking him in prayer and in preparation for God to move in powerful ways in this new year. And because we won't do life or ministry alone throughout the next 21 days, like I mentioned, let's collectively meet. 7 o'clock, come in the prayer room. Bring a coffee if you need to. And it's going to be good. We also highly encourage fasting, friends. You're like, fasting, that's so last year, right? That's the next step, actually, in your spiritual development. If you haven't fasted yet, I encourage you to fast. Fasting changes your focus. Fasting helps you quiet the noise around you. First, for the first couple of days, your belly's going to be really noisy, or maybe your desire to be binging on Netflix or whatever, right? You're like, I can't. It was a time of discipline where we start to quiet the noise around us so we can hear God speak. It helps bring clarity and revelation as long as you're in the Word of God. We want revelation to come from the Word and the Spirit, right? Not from our YouTube culture. We want to be in the Word of God. We want to receive revelation. And fasting is simply giving up something you love for someone that you love more. And I hope that's Jesus in your life. So while you're fasting, don't fill it with something else. Fill it with Jesus. If you're fasting from Netflix or social media or food, instead of, rallying up to the table and you're sitting there in the living room while everyone else is eating, that's fine. Pull out the scriptures and say, God, speak to me in these next few moments. Turn on some worship music and say, God, I love you so much. I trust, friends, that God's got some big things to do. We want to reinvest that time that you would have spent doing something, and you want to reinvest it with Jesus in scripture and prayer. So here's our first slide, or second slide. Actually, Drew's with me. Who's with me? For you visual learners, I'm a visual learner too, so I just can't see them, so hopefully we'll be okay. Jeremy's back there. How you got that, Jeremy? You good? The theme for this year is return to me. This is prayer and fasting I'm talking to, taken out of Joel 2 and 12. So if you have your Bibles and it's not on the screen, I think it will be there. We'll just read that for a second. Joel 2 and 12 says, even now declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting and weeping and mourning. And we'll jump down to verse 25. He says, I will give you back what you lost. For many of us over this past year, there's been a lot of discouragement. You've experienced all kinds of loss and frustration and stress and grief. We've had things taken from us spiritually in some sense, and even physically. All kinds of issues that we've walked through. Every one of us could say, yeah, that's me. I've had some things I've gone through this year. But I love how our God, even when we find ourselves having wandered away from him or being distracted from his presence, he's not kicking us to the curb, but he's reaching, and he's not reaching down from heaven with a big old fish bunker to knock you on the head and say, come on, get with it. No, he just simply says, hey, friend, come on back to me. I want you to come on home. He's a good God. So if you'll just return to me, I'll heal your lands. I'll restore what's been taken from you. I'll give you back what you've lost. Is there some people in the room today that has lost some things that's saying, God, I need you to restore me in this year. God, I need to restore the faith in my children this year. God, I need you to restore my relationship. God, I need to restore the finances that I just can't seem to keep track of. God, I need your restoration in my life. That's me. I'm going to say, yes, Lord, I need some restoration. He's such a good and gentle and merciful and gracious God. And hey, if you'd like some additional resources on prayer and fasting, write this down. I don't have it on the screen tonight, but it's simply on our website, belovedchurch.ca/prayer. There's a ton of resources. We'll have them there in the prayer room as well. We're going to pray through the tabernacle prayer. In this series, we're going to pray through the Lord's Prayer, the prayer of Jabez. We're going to learn what it means to pray and talk to God and lift up our voices and clap our hands. And we're going to talk about this in a few minutes. I'm getting excited and ahead of myself. Thank you, Jesus. So here we are kicking off this new year. This is week one, though. We're launching a brand new series, and I'm excited for what God is launching in my heart and in the hearts of our leadership. Oh, he is good. This is week one of We See a Church. I truly believe that leading a church with a Holy Spirit-inspired vision leads with clarity, leads with in a way that builds unity amongst us and defines and redefines our purposes. So I hope you have your Bibles and your notebooks and ready to learn something from God over the next few moments together. You still with me? All right. I get a little excited, so if it gets too loud, just plug your ears. It's okay. Over the next 4 to 5 weeks, slide 3 for us, Drew, the scripture that has inspired this theme that we want to launch into is taken from Matthew 16 and 18. I'm going to preach tonight, maybe not as teachy as usual, and I hope that's okay for you, but I do believe God wants to spark something in there. I feel the presence, the power and presence of God in here, and I believe he's doing the work already, and I'm excited for the fire that Darren was talking about. That's what we're talking about tonight, the fire of the Lord in my heart, Jim. Passion of the Lord, right? That's what he wants to do in us, is ignite that fire in us again for 2023. So Matthew 16 and 18, where Jesus says this, I will build my church and the gates of death and hell will not overcome it. The gates of Hades. Say it with me. I will build my church and the gates of hell will not overcome it. I love that he didn't just say, I will build the church, right? Capital C Church. We love the capital C Church. But he said, I will build my church. He's taking it personal. It means something to him. It was something he saw worth dying for. Scripture says he gave his life for the church. He laid his life down for the church. It's his bride. It's his body. And then he's actually coming back for his church. My church. He loves his church. Pray with me for a moment. Jesus, thank you for these moments together. Jesus, this is your church that you died for. It was your dream, your plan, A God. And we get to grow with it and steward it. Lord Jesus, thank you. Move with it. So today, Holy Spirit, come. Soften our hard hearts to receive the seeding of your word today, Jesus. Open our blinded eyes, God, to see where you are directing us in this new year, Jesus. Open our closed ear, Lord, to hear the word of the Lord tonight. Help us to be more than hearers, but also to be doers as we leave this place of what you are asking us to do in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Everyone say amen. Amen. Friends, the church, my church in Jesus' words, according to Jesus, is unstoppable. Is ongoing, is powerful, is persistent. Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not overcome it. He loves his church and nothing can stop God from building his church. Even the gates of hell cannot overcome it. Yet in many of our circles of influence, this may seem contrary and contradictive to so many of our current North American views of church, or if your discipleship is left up to your YouTube algorithms, even some of the apocalyptic perspectives that we see out there of Christianity today is that the church is in decline, that the church has had its heyday, and frankly, the church is no longer relevant, that gathering as the body of Christ is so last decade, that I don't need to go to church to be a Christian, right? We hear these things, and some of my friends and your friends and loved ones have been trying to or working through this period of deconstruction to figure out, well, what do I even believe? Where do I stand? What do I even know anymore? These things that have been passed on for generation after generation. Thank you, Jesus. Trying to figure out where one stands in matters of faith and spirituality and what one should even believe anymore. The gathering, the body of Christ, in comparison to what pop culture informs us. Friends, I get it. I know what it means to experience the search for true purpose and meaning in our lives. And we will wrestle with that tension for till the day we die. But God wants to walk along that with you. He wants to nudge you through the guiding and the leading of the Holy Spirit. See, he wants to be more than just your forgiver, but he also wants to be your leader. It's a beautiful, beautiful place to be in a relationship with a God who created the heavens and the earth and everything in it, including you and I. Love it. Yeah, what I've sensed in prayer and in reflection for this season is that Holy Spirit wants to lead the way in helping us to unpack over the next few weeks. And through the lens of scripture, a vision for a future that I frankly believe is upheld by biblical distinctives found in the word of God and affirmed by the Holy Spirit living and dwelling in you and testified about around the world still today. Distinctives of my church, what separates us, which makes us unique and set apart from the world, things that are important, extremely important to God. So here's the first distinctive that I truly believe is for us. My church, friends, is passionate. So if we go to slide 4, when Jesus is everything, friends, when Jesus is at the center of our lives and the center of my marriage and my sexing and my finance, when Jesus is at the center in everything, we see a church who is passionate about God, where people have actually found a relationship with God instead of religion. Where living for God is no longer a duty and a drudgery, but it's actually a delight. Can you imagine living for God and it's actually a delight? You're filled with joy because, why? Because you're passionate about the same things that God is passionate about. We see a church who is passionate about God, and I want to be a part of this church, a church that is that's truly led by Jesus, shaped by his grace and moved by his love, one that is so exciting to be part of and one that God is all about, that I can't wait to be in the room with you, and one that can't even contain the amount of people who want to come and be in the presence of God with you and I. This excites me. I'm passionate for what God wants to do for and in this city. Thank you, Jesus. Living for God is no longer a duty. It's a delight. Now, we aren't the first generation to be distracted by the noise of our host culture or to quit churching or where individuals turn away from God to live for themselves and live in wanton for the pleasures of humanity. We've all been there, right? Addicted to lifestyle. How many have been addicted to lifestyle? I'm addicted to Starbucks some days. It's lifestyle, and God help me, right? I don't want to be addicted to lifestyle. I want to be passionate for the things of God. Or one might say whether it's actually been a great infidelity to the one and only true lover of our souls, where true joy has withered away, friends, and spiritual worship ceases, and where there's neither peace and safety until there has been repentance and return to God. I'm talking about a church that's passionate for God. And I believe God's leading us into 2023 and say, will you be passionate for my church? Will you be passionate for me? Will you be passionate for prayer? We're going to get into a few of them in a few seconds here. We see this over and over throughout history and throughout scriptures. But one of the ancients, which we read from Joel, a prophet of Judah during a reign of wickedness and godlessness, was experiencing a day of the Lord kind of experience where there was a time of devastation by locusts and everything was eaten up, drought and famine. And facing a prediction of destruction by a great army, Joel is in this dark time, friends. How many of you have been in a dark time in your life? You're like, God, where are you? He goes ahead, though, and he tells Judah in slide 5. He says, here is a word from the Lord. Firstly, it's a call to return to the Lord. If you will return to me, here is a promise of help to repentant Judah. Joel 2 and 12, we read this. Yet even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, with mourning, and rend your hearts, not your garments this time, but rend your hearts. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful. He's slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. See, so many times our religious culture tells a different story, but he's gracious, friends, and he's merciful, and he's slow to anger and abounding in steadfast, steady, continued love for you. And he relents over disaster. He says, turn to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, with mourning. And in slide 6, verse 25 to 27, I will restore to you the years that the swarming locust has eaten, the hopper, the granaries, the destroyer, and the cutter, my great army, which I sent among you. Verse 26, you shall eat in plenty and be satisfied and praise the name of the Lord your God who has dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never again be put to shame. Verse 27, you shall know that I am in the midst of you, of Israel, and that I am the Lord your God, and there is none else. And my people shall never be put again be put to shame. See, if you know the stories, or if you've been in some of your Old Testament scriptures, and we find in the Bible today, Joel caught a hold of a vision that God had for his people. See, these people who once prospered and who floundered and wandered and squandered, just like every one of us, including me, friends, God said, come back with humble hearts, and I will give you back what you once lost. He caught a hold of this vision that God had for his people. Be glad and rejoice, he says, for the Lord has done marvelous things. This is before God was doing it. He was looking ahead with faith. See, sometimes all we can see is the desolation around us and the distractions around us, the things that God's not doing for us. The low-income jobs, right? The pain-in-the-butt relationships, our neighbors, you name whatever it is that we're distracted by the things around us, the missed opportunities maybe that we oh man, I wish I shoulda, coulda, woulda. I wonder if there's anyone today in the house that is desiring to look beyond the past and even your present, for the Lord has done marvelous things. See, sometimes that's all we can see is what he's not doing, right? But to look forward with a renewed sense of passion for the things of God in 2023. A passion for Jesus Christ to be my everything. The center of my entire life again. See, Joel's looking forward to see the restoration that God has promised. And he tells Judah to look forward in faith. Beloved City Church, are you ready to look forward in faith in 2023? Oh man, help us, Jesus, to trust you, to lean in and listen for you. And he tells Judah, look forward in faith. And while you're at it, this is the hard part, friends, because I know just like me, some of you, when you're going through crap, you don't feel like praising the Lord. I might even drop a couple F-bombs every once in a while. That's not praising the Lord, is it? When I'm frustrated, when I'm angry, when I'm... Mitch is laughing. I'm just kidding. I know. You're like, whoa, Pastor Chris. Joel looks forward to see the restoration that God has promised. He says, praise God for the restoration that he promises, even before you see it with your own eyes. And like I said this morning, I know I can already hear it. I'll believe it when I see it, actually. How many of you live for your faith like that? Just a couple of you? Nobody? Oh, good. Wow, I thought, that's okay. I'll believe it when I see it. I've said that myself, so I'll be honest with you. Is there anyone else who wants to be honest with me today? Sometimes I don't walk by faith. But this year in 2023, God's calling me back to look forward. Even though it might be desolation around me, deserts, like Darren was saying, God's releasing streams in the desert. They're going to help you flourish. You can be a tree planted by the rivers of life. I will bear fruit in its due season. My encouragement for you and I and for the whole of 2023 is that you and I would walk by faith and not by sight. Don't wait to see it, to believe it. Can you walk by faith, trusting in the Lord? Believe with me, friends. Will you put your faith into action and believe with me while you take your next step? This is faithing. Joel says, I can already see it. I can already see it, friends. The open pastures are springing up with new life, and the trees are bearing fruit. With eyes open with faith, Joel could already see it happening. All around him, lush and fruitful pastures and trees that God restored after the destruction of the locust. I will restore to you all the years that the swarming locust has eaten. Friends, maybe the situation that you're in right now looks really bad. Looks hopeless. Looks like I don't even know if God even hears me anymore. Maybe it's in your relationships, in the salvation of your children who once were worshiping Jesus alongside you. Your loved ones, that thing you're going through, that hurt maybe that you've been carrying for so, so long. It might look so complete and final. God promised the ancients, hey, even I can restore the years that the enemy has robbed from you, has taken from you. Now the scripture says, the Bible says, in fact, Jesus says this in Matthew 15. This is our next slide, 7. Matthew 15, 8 and 9. He says that there will be a generation that will lose their passion. He said that this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Verse 9, and in vain they actually worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. It's the words of Jesus, forewarning. They honor me with their lips, right? Still showing up, still taking communion, getting baptized, even doing your daily Bible reading, but they don't enjoy it. They're not in love with it. They honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They are just worshiping me in vain. And out of tradition, but in vain, as they don't even enjoy being in my presence. They're just following human traditions, human rules, human obligations. Yet God, friends, God never intended that. You and I need to know that God never intended his church to be this way. His church is not intended to be dull and boring and sad and reserved, can't wait till this is over kind of thing. And I know sometimes for me, I feel a little upset about it because I know that there are a whole lot of things in this life that we all get pretty excited about. I mean, we love getting all cray-cray about our favorite sports teams, whether you're probably a Flames fan or something, and I'm a Canucks or Oilers, but we get all crazy about our sports teams or our favorite bands or about our holidays at the timeshare. That new car smell. I love new car smell. Or our grades on that paper that I'm writing. I'm all crazy about it, right? Ooh. And then coming on Sunday, all conservative, like hands in pocket, checking your watch. Oh, instant notification, ding. I know I'm preaching. Is it okay if I step on our toes today? Hum-dee-dum, right? Friends, that is not what the Bible talks about for his people. In fact, the scripture says in slide 8, Romans 12, Jesus God is encouraging us. The writer and author here saying, do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. In fact, zelos in the Greek, or zelos in the Greek, means to be white hot and boiling over. Have you ever boiled eggs and it's boiling all over your stove? No, just me? Here, I like how the TPT, the Passion Translation, which is actually a paraphrase, it says it this way. Be enthusiastic to serve the Lord. Woo, yeah, Lord. Keeping your passions toward him boiling hot. Radiate with the glow of the Holy Spirit and let him fill you with excitement as you serve him. Friends, I'm telling you that living as a Christ follower was intended to be one of the most passionate things that you do. And in fact, it's something I'm fighting for. I'm willing to fight for it. I'm willing to lay down my ego for it and get a little stupid for my passion for Jesus this year. I'm willing to abandon self in the way that I passionately celebrate Jesus and his church. Is anyone else willing to be a little cray-cray for Jesus in 2023? I don't want to do this alone, friends. We don't want to do friends, ministry, and life alone. Is anyone willing to do a little crazy, passionate living for God this year in 2023? Just a couple of you? Is there anyone that's a little bit more passionate than that? Can I get a really like, woo, I'm in. Let's go. Come on. Let's go. Yeah. Let us step into 2023, friends, as a church that is white hot, boiling over and passionate for God and the things of God, that nothing can stop what God is doing. It's ongoing, it's powerful, is persistent, where Jesus is my and our everything. Oh man, God, you're so good. I wonder if there's anyone here in the room along with me who is willing to open our eyes with faith in this new year. To get fired up, to look ahead to a brand new year, a fresh start, a new season, a fresh outpouring, a tangible awakening to the presence of God, of the living God. I wonder if there's anyone else in the room who can see a church that is hungry for spiritual breakthrough. A church who is willing to grow hot in their passionate pursuit for God. A church who desires to seek a relationship instead of just religious works, going through the motions. A church that seeks the heart of God in reaching the least, the last, and the lost in our city around us. Passionate for the things of God. Jesus is our everything. Moving on. So your God's this way. Mm-hmm. Something that's sometimes upsetting to me is how people think about Jesus and how he's portrayed in our movies and literature and art and Hollywood, because often they portray him not as the Bible does. They got him looking all somber and sad and skinny and under, you know, malnourished or something, and kind of boring. You don't really see him in Hollywood and literature as a Jesus who whoops it up and has some fun, right? I mean, like the Bible says that kids were piling on Jesus so that the disciples had to come on, get away, kids, get out of here. What kind of boring and sad person attracts kids? Who's a kid magnet, right? Nobody. Nobody wants to hang out with grumpy old adults. I mean, what kind of boring and sad face in person attracts little ones? Jesus was fun, friends. Jesus was passionate. And we see it throughout Scripture. I'm going to show you in this story in the temple shows a side of Jesus that, quite frankly, we want to avoid. Slide 9, John chapter 2, 14 to 17. Are you still with me? We're only halfway through. Is that okay? I'm a little bit long tonight. If you get bored, you can go get a drink of water and come back. John 2, 14. In the temple, he found those who were selling oxen and sheep and pigeons, and the money changers were just sitting there. All chill. And so what he does, he makes a whip of cords. Talk about passion, right? He drove them all out of the temple with the sheep and the oxen too. Out! And he poured out the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. And he told those who sold pigeons, take these things away. Do not make my father's house a house of trade. Verse 17, his disciples remembered that it was written, Psalm 69 says, zeal for your house will consume me. A passion for God's house will consume me. Friends, I want to be a church that never loses our passion for being in the house of God and in the presence of Jesus. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Is there anyone with me tonight who is glad when they said, let's go to church tonight and praise Jesus together? I don't want to be here because I had nothing else to do. No, friends, this is my priority. This is the best day of the week. I get to worship with my friends and my family, my loved ones, in a time that's intentionally set aside and devoted to praising and worshiping a good God who's worthy of praise. I love serving God and being in his presence with his people. Now, I don't want to just give you my opinions. Like I said earlier, I've got a couple good ones, but that's not enough. I want what I teach and preach to be founded on Scripture and rooted in the Word of God, right? That's what we want to do. See, when you research zeal or zealous and passion in Scripture, there are four things that I want to point out tonight that God talks about a lot when it comes to our passions. Friends, I frankly believe that we should be passionate for when we're passionate for what God's passionate for. What is interesting is that these four areas that I want to talk about are also the areas where it's most often or really easy to get lukewarm about, apathetic about, kind of skip it. We'll talk about it later kind of thing. And the first one is a great example because throughout the Bible, when it talks about prayer, prayer is to be passionate. A church that is a passionate for God. When Jesus is our everything, we are a church who is passionate for prayer. Slide 10 for us. We are a church who is passionate for prayer when we're passionate about the things of God. We see a church that is passionate about making prayer my first response and not my last resort. Like, you know, when we talk about prayer, we think about prayer, it's always like heads down. It's real kind, quiet, kind of professional, like, oh, Lord, my heavenly Father. Oh, but a little quieter, maybe. Great words, couple of these and thous and howevers and wherevers. Got to throw in some King James Version. Maybe kneeling on the ground beside your bed. Hey, nothing wrong with any of these, but we frankly just don't see prayer portrayed like that in Scripture. In fact, in the book of Acts, let me give you an example. It talks about how they raise their voices together in prayer. And the place where they were praying was shaken. I mean, can you imagine? It would have been better than any stadium or any concert that you've ever been to. That's what prayer was like in the Bible. In fact, in slide 11, Jesus said in Matthew 21 and 13, my house will be called the house of prayer, but you are making it a den of thieves, a den of robbers. But let's look at slide 12. I want my church to be a house of prayer, Jesus says. But also the Bible describes it in James 5 and 16 that the effectual and fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Meaning the antithesis of a fervent prayer might not accomplish much at all. Here's what I'm encouraging us in. Go after God with passion in your prayer. And watch the difference it will make in your life. Passionate in your prayer life, your communication with Jesus. See, friends, we see a church that is passionate for prayer in 2023, that declares absolute dependence on God. And friends, if your prayer life has, your prayer fire has died out, here's a tip for you today. A church that is passionate for prayer makes prayer our first response and not our last resort. Meaning, well, we tried everything, right? I guess all we can do now is pray. No, why not start there? How about, you know what? Let's just pray about that before we make that decision or before we even attempt any human efforts. Why don't we just give it to God and trust him for it and believe him for it in Jesus' name? Friends, will you walk alongside me in growing in your passion for prayer this year? A couple of you, that's good. Number two, and here's a second one. All throughout Scripture, when you read the Word of God, the Bible, you'll see passion for praise and for worship. These are distinctives of people who are passionate for God. Number two is we see a church that's passionate about praise and worship. So this is one of our distinctives. When Jesus is our everything, we are passionate for praise and worship. We see a church that gives God what he deserves, not what I feel. We give God good worship to a good God. Good worship, because he's worthy of all my praise. He's worthy of my worship. Oh, man. Both Pastor Angela and I have been part of leading worship and playing instruments, like even you see tonight. And for many years, we've been part of music and worship. And since we were just young kids, and in the churches that we have led, we've always been part of leading worship. And I want to lead the way in what worship looks like according to Scripture. That's why I want to be engaged. That's why I want to be all in and worship God with all my heart. And if I'm not up on stage, I'm going to be in the front row. God, I love you. You're amazing, Jesus. I want to be passionate about praise and worship because I truly care about how we worship a good God. So good. I mean, in Canada, leading a church to learn how to worship. I don't know if any one of you have done worship teaching or leading worship, but in Canada, we're a funny bunch. It's okay. We're Canadian. We're proud of it. But it's one of the most difficult things to do. It's like pushing a string uphill, actually. Because people have been trained and have been conditioned by traditional religions that worship is meant to be low-key, quiet, conservative. Like this is supposed to be a reverent reflection time, and there's time for that. I'm not getting excited, Pastor Chris. That's just not me, right? It's almost improper if I do. That's great, but friends, that's not at all what the Bible says. And it's interesting because quite often it's the same religious spirit that says, you know, the preaching and exegeting of a Bible verse by verses is often when we're in a spirit of criticism instead of skepticism, we're often there all concerned about the person standing beside us who's got his hands or her hands up in the air and big tears of joy streaming down their faces. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. You're so good. People who are passionate for praise and for worship of a good God. I wonder if anyone else here would be willing to take a step to grow in your passion. In fact, the biggest book of your Bible, the Psalms, there are 150 chapters of some of the most demonstrative chapters in the Bible. Clap your hands, all you people, right? Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. I refuse, friends, to let our worship get all conservative and low-key in 2023. It's not even about us. It's about God, about Jesus, our Savior, our Creator, our Forgiver, and our Leader, man. And sometimes we think it's about us. Sometimes we think it's about protecting our egos. I know I'm talking straight tonight, friends, but I know God's convicting me and leading me in a new year, saying, are you passionate about praise and worship, Chris? And I want to grow more and more passionate about the things that God's passionate for. I want to be passionate in praise and worship. Jesus said, actually, if you're going to love me, slide 14 and Mark 12 and 30. If you're going to love me, and it says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and all, you hear me, all of everything. I can't even say it. I'm running out of voice here tonight. But I don't think I like that song, actually. I wish the team would sing more hymns or whatever, right? I'm going to sit over here in the quiet zone. No, friends, I wish that we could all get a hold of what it means to be front row worshipers in our heart, to be passionate about praise and worship. It's not even about us, friends. We worship our God because he is worthy of worship and praise. We call it worship. Right? He is worthy of all my praise with all my heart, all my soul, my mind, and strength. Some of you this year, I dare you to let go of whatever's got your praises limited to tapping your toes in the house of God. Let it work its way up into your kneecaps and in your hips, and before you know it, you're going to be, woo, glory! Let it go, friends. Just let it go. Frozen, I know. Give God some praise, right? The same kind of praise that you might give at the local football game or at the local concert, like I mentioned, or when you're sitting down for a bowl of wings and you're like, woo! Slide 15. Come on, right? Praise Psalms 103 and slide 15 for us. 103:1 says, praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being, praise his holy name. Friends, I'm determined to lead this church at the beginning of this year back to the heart of God, back to the values and ethics of God, back to the way the Bible describes what being passionate for the things of God is all about. We're going to look like the church in the Bible. Is that okay? You willing to walk that out with me? Some of you aren't. That's okay. But we're going to walk this out together. If you're willing, let's go. One of my heroes in scripture is King David. This guy was so passionate for worship. And by the way, he had some of the greatest favor with God. He's actually the only person in the Bible that God said, "My covenant will be with you everlasting." God honored him for one reason, friends. Despite being the biggest mess up, sin, and all kinds of stuff went on. But he was passionate about God, and he was passionate about praise and worship, and he loved the Ark of the Covenant because it represented the presence of God. In 2 Samuel, the Ark of the Covenant got stolen. If you don't know the story, you can read it later. It's in 2 Samuel, chapter 6, I think, chapter 2, actually. And they recovered, they were about 8 miles outside of Jerusalem when they recovered the Ark. And they finally get the ark back, and David is so fired up about having God's presence back that they would only take 6 steps and then say, "Whoa, whoa, whoa, hold the phone. Stop, 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 stop. We have to thank God right now because his presence is back in our midst." And then they would make a sacrifice, and they praised and thanked God. The Bible says every 6 steps for about 8 miles, that's nearly 14,000 steps. That's nearly 2,347 sacrifices over 8 miles. Can you imagine? They would stop and give good praise and worship to a good and worthy God. David was so passionate about the presence and the power of God and worshiping God in that kind of way. Slide 16 for us, Drew. And the Bible says in 2 Samuel 6, actually, is what we're at, 20. When David returned home to bless his household, Michal, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet him and sarcastically said, "How the king of Israel has distinguished himself today, disrobing in the sight of slave girls of his servants as any vulgar fellow would. You embarrass me today, David." David said to Michal, "Sister, it was before the Lord who chose me rather than your father or anyone from his house who had appointed me ruler over the Lord's people, Israel." David said, "I will celebrate before the Lord, and I will become even more undignified than this. In fact, honey, you ain't seen nothing yet." And friends, I don't know about you, but I want to start off 2023 saying, "You thought last year was great, devil, enemy, sister, brother. You ain't seen nothing yet." We see a church that is passionate for praise and for worship of a good God. Friends, you're looking at a guy that has been set free from powers of sin and shame. Every one of us, many of you in the room, who has a forgiver and leader in Jesus Christ, who is no longer bound but set free, no longer in bondage, who is no longer in darkness and in confusion, but in the light of Christ. Pardon my noise, friends, but this is the sound of my freedom, and I'm going to praise the Lord with everything that I have. This is the sound of my freedom. Does anyone else want to walk in freedom in 2023? Yes. Pardon my noise. I'm just wondering if there's anyone else who has been set free in this house today, who can give the Lord a celebration of praise and give the Lord a hand clap of praise and shout unto God with a voice of triumph in this new year. He is worthy, friends, of our praise. If you're going to be fanatical about something, why not God? Friends, a church that is passionate for praise and worship gives God what he deserves, not what we feel. "Well, I don't feel like being loud, Pastor Chris. I'm not wired that way, you know." He actually didn't offer you a choice based on what you feel. We give God what he actually deserves, and that's what Scripture informs us in. He said, "Shout unto God and clap with your hands." We get to worship God the way that God wants us to worship him, despite what I feel. I know. That's challenging, isn't it? Sometimes I come in dragging my knuckles on the ground, and it's hard to get my hands lifted up. We're all there sometimes, aren't we? But we don't have to let our feelings dictate how I worship a good God. because he's worthy of such good praise. He's set me free, friends. From bondage of sin, I'm no longer captivated by the sins and the desires and passions of my flesh. I can live as unto God because of the Holy Spirit in me. I want to celebrate this. Now, there is a consistent pattern in Scripture revealing that God honors people who have a zeal and passion for God. He also honors those who stand for the honor of God. So when Jesus is our everything, slide 17 for us, this is the third distinctive. We see a church who is passionate for purity. And we're not trying to start a new purity movement or a holiness movement, but we can still be passionate for the things that God's passionate for. And he is passionate for purity. We see a church that's a voice in our culture, not an echo of our culture. Now, purity isn't talking about perfection. Perfectionism is an attitude. But passion for purity is just like when you love it. Slide 18, the scripture says in Romans 12, 9 says, hate what is evil, friends, and cling to what is good. Passionate for purity. That doesn't mean you're always going to get it right. I don't always get it right. No one's perfect in here. Just Jesus, right? But we are going to be a people who do not follow the discipleship of our culture or the rhythms and patterns and passions of our host culture. We are in a generation that sees the church as immoral, who mocks the church for what we stand for and for what we believe the Bible actually says. But friends, we do not have to conform to the things of our world. We don't look like the world. We don't sound like the world. We have different values. We have different convictions and ethics and passions. We are in this world, but not of it. Passionate for purity. What are the stories? We got a couple of kids. Plug your ears for a moment. One of the stories that comes to mind in the Old Testament in slide 19, found in Numbers 25 and 11, talking about being passionate for purity. Phinehas, son of Eleazar, son of Aaron, the priest, has turned my anger away from the Israelites, since he was as zealous for my honor among them as I am. In this account, there were two people who were having sex outside of marriage in the building that was supposed to be the church. A mockery of God, mocking God. And Phinehas took a spear and drove it through both of them while in the act. And God says, this is a person who has zeal for my purity, who desires to uphold my name amongst the people. He was as zealous for my honor among them as I am. We're talking about being passionate for purity, the purity that God is calling us to. Friends, we will be a church that upholds and honors our living God rather than the values and ethics of our host culture. In the way that we live, in the way that we serve and give and love, we choose to honor God with passion. When Jesus is our everything, friends, we see a church who has a passion for purity is a voice in our culture, not an echo. Here's the last one. And this one would probably be number one on God's list, actually. When Jesus is our everything, we see a church, in slide 20, that is passionate for people. We see a church that embraces that a life not lived for others is a life not lived. So often church can be exclusive, right? Inward facing, avoiding eye contact with the world, a holy social club. But I truly believe that is not God's design for his church that he's building. We are a people who are led by Jesus, shaped by his grace, moved by his love, that looks like Jesus, acts like Jesus, thinks like Jesus. I know we don't got it all figured out. That's okay. Reaching the least, the last, and the lost, just like Jesus. God is so passionate for people. Slide 21 in John 3:16. Many of you know this passage by heart. Says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believed in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Can you imagine that kind of God? God is passionate about people, friends, that he gave his only son. Whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. God so loved the world. And anything that God is passionate for is something that we ought to be passionate for. I'm going to do whatever it takes, friends. In fact, I will do anything short of sin to reach as many people as I can for Jesus in 2023. I'm going to get a little cray-cray for Jesus. Passionate for the things of God. Unashamed. I know this church is probably big enough for some of you, but remember, it's not about you, nor my preferences. It's not about what's best for me. We love that, right? Oh, I get it. We will do everything we can, whatever it takes to reach both lost people and found people for Jesus, because everybody needs Jesus and everybody needs a home in this city. Whatever it takes, Lord, use my time, use my energy, use my finances. This is your kingdom. Send me. Why? Because God so loved the world. Paul writes this to the elders in Ephesus in slide 22. I'm almost done, friends. Thank you for being so patient. I truly believe God is up to something in our hearts tonight. We would hang on for three more minutes. Slide 22 in Acts chapter 24. Sorry, Acts 20 and 24. Paul is writing. He said, "But my life is worth nothing to me unless I use it for finishing the work assigned me by the Lord Jesus." And here's the work. He was assigned the work of telling others the good news about the wonderful grace of God. My life is useless unless I use it for finishing the work of God. When Jesus is our everything, friends, we are a church who remembers that a life not lived for others is a life not lived. In fact, if you are discouraged, hurting, bored, you probably have gotten too much focus on yourself. "But, Pastor Chris, my situation is real. I know it's real. I'm not discrediting that it's real." But our life is not about us, friends. We're bought with the precious blood of Jesus, paid in full all the debts of your sin and shame. Listen, the more that you give your life for others, the more you'll find life. And that's truth that is we're informed by Scripture. The more you give your life for others, the more you'll find life. So what do we do as we're closing? Well, it's 2023, and we often find ourselves making New Year's resolutions and trying to turn a new leaf and a new exercise program. Maybe we're fasting and praying for 21 days, some kind of new something. And for a lot of years, you feel like maybe you've been a little beat up, tired, and honestly, you tried and have quit so many resolutions over the past few years, you didn't even bother making one this year. And you've got some desire, though, still to take on the new year inside of you. There's something there. Maybe it's not much. There's a small glimmer of fire of hope in you. For some of you, the fire has gone out completely. And there's just no peace anymore. There's no joy. And it's silent. It's dark. It's a bit lonely. But here's what God is not saying. "Well, that's okay. I still love you." I know that kind of goes against our grain, but actually, let me see here what God is showing us in Scripture. Here's what he's actually saying in Revelations 2, slide 23, 2 and 4 of Revelations. He says, "Yet I hold this against you." He's talking to the church, friends. "You have forsaken the love you had at first. Consider how far you have fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first." See, this is the last thing that Jesus is saying in the Bible. He's addressing the churches. He confronts the church in Revelations 2 and 3. And this is the first confrontation. "I have this against you, church. You have forsaken your first love. You're not where you're supposed to be." Yet he didn't say, "That's it, I'm done with you." No, he invites us back. He invites us to the opportunity to come back to me, to return to me, come to my first love. And he tells you how. He says this. He says, "Consider how far you have fallen." So think about the time, friends, that you were passionate for the things of God. Think about the time that you were passionate for prayer and passionate for praise and worship and passionate for purity in your life and passionate for people, and it just died. He says, consider it. Think about it. And then he says this. He says, repent. He just says, repent, turn around. You don't have to earn it. You don't have to prove anything. He just says, turn around, repent. That's it. It's the most positive word in the Bible. Repent. Just turn around. Simple, easy. Isn't he so awesome that he just always gives you that opportunity, no matter how far you've drifted, no matter for how far you've gone, or how little your fire is, or how small your hunger is for the passion or for the things of God, how deep you've fallen, he always gives you that chance and that opportunity. That's our God, friends, and I just love him so much for the passion that he has for you and I. And then he finishes with a warning in slide 24. Verse 5, he says, but if you ignore this today, you have the chance of burning out completely. He says, if you do not repent, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place. That passion, that fire that you once had, you just don't want it to go out. So around this room, in closing, I want to give us an opportunity to respond to what the Holy Spirit's saying. If you would close your eyes with me, bow our heads around the room, all across the room. And Drew, if you want to turn on a little bit of background music for us, that'd be great. Thank you, Jesus.